Now entering Nerdist.com.
Hello and welcome to Today We Learned, number 50, the Big 5-0. Guys, wow, I can't believe it. We did it. We didn't even have to do trust falls because I trusted you guys to be here with us.
Big 50 is a long time.
Yeah.
God
it's
damn.
Been almost a year.
Almost.
Yeah, almost. Not quite. Almost. Yeah, it's, you know, there's 52 weeks in a year.
And what a great year it's been.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. We've had some great guests. And today is no exception. I was not familiar with today's guest going into today, but he lives with you.
Yeah,
he was a cool dude.
He's my roommate.
Yeah, he's a very funny guy. He's got a new album coming out on August 12th called Hot Doggin'. He's another album on iTunes right now called Kaboom. So if those two words gave it away already, you probably know. But let's cut to the chase, shall we?
Yeah, it's a really great episode. We got some fun facts, and he's a very, very funny stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. He's my roommate, and it's like I wanted to have him on for a while, but I knew he had a new album coming out soon. So
yeah, better do that push when we can. Yeah, exactly. Always good to help good dudes out.
Absolutely. So everybody go out and listen to this podcast, laugh, enjoy it, learn some things. Then if you got an extra, I don't know what it's selling for, if you got an extra $5 to $10 next week, next Tuesday, go ahead and buy his album.
And I think you can actually pre-purchase it now on Amazon and iTunes.
Yeah, so go ahead and do that, and let's see if we can't get Dave's
put that in your pipes and purchase
some sort
it.
Of comedy chart on iTunes or whatever.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Without further ado,
today we learned
number 50 with Dave Waite.
Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds.
Alrighty, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Today We Learn.
Number 50, you guys.
Number 50. What is the 50 called? What is that, like the over the hill?
I know.
V.
Yeah. Fifth V. No, it's five, L.
Zero. L.
It's L.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's not a centennial.
I'm looking at 50th anniversary gift.
Not sesquicentennial.
It's a half centennial.
Yeah. Sure, it's just
half centennial. It's the gold. We're the gold, right?
Yeah, we're the gold record.
The gold.
The golden anniversary.
50th anniversary gifts.
50 gold. Years of this podcast. God, when any podcast reaches 50 years, it's going to be a dark day for humanity.
You know how, I wonder if they've switched that with record. That's what record companies should do now. If you sell a million copies, they should give you, a platinum iPhone or some shit. Because you ever seen like those old ones where they'll have like the record, but then they'll have a tape underneath.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then they have CDs, but now they should have the telephone. You should have the telephone.
Just like a little USB stick.
Yeah.
I was reading somewhere that they've actually some rating scales have decreased because nobody sells a million. Like, no album sells a million anymore or whatever. It's so hard to sell that amount.
We haven't had a platinum record in 30 years.
Because a platinum is like 10 million, right?
I think so.
There's just some sad.
There's gold is 500,000. No, diamond. Platinum is a million and diamond is 10 million.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen that very rarely happens anymore. I mean, look at the Weird Al CD took number one and it only sold like 109 or whatever thousand.
Only 109 copies.
109 copies. It's not like it used to be where, record debuts and it goes platinum instantly.
There's just a sad guy who was the guy that made all those frames and he's just got that can of platinum paint just sitting around. been slow.
Goddamn Napster.
Yeah. But you're right. It was for the U.S., for an album, 500,000 copies is gold, a million is platinum, and 10 million is diamond.
Yeah. No, I mean, diamond doesn't get reached anymore.
Yeah,
no,
anything above that, you're just, generally successful. Here's a diamond YouTube video. It's a cat falling asleep.
Oh, man. And won't that be the day when they consider YouTube views for, record ratings, like if a music video has been watched 10 million times, like Gangnam Style, Gangnam Style went platinum.
Yeah, well, the problem is it's not as prevalent anymore, but back in the day, the way Justin Bieber became Justin Bieber is the managers would like goose the videos by purchasing a lot of views from bots.
Yeah.
And once it hit a certain level of views to reach the YouTube algorithm, would hit the front page, then they would turn off the bots, turn on ads, and that way the influx of people coming, because it appears on the front page,
yeah,
they would just get up, you know, you see a video on the front page, you're like, oh, 2 million views, like, this has to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, just...
They would do a similar thing like that back in the day.
Do you think you can get a hold of the Bieber management team for
yeah,
me?
Yeah, hold on. let me call up Scooter Braun,
Dave,
if he's not busy producing Gem and the Holograms.
Dave has a stand-up comedy album coming out. And
yeah. Oh, by the way...
we're plugging right out the gate.
Before we even introduce our guest today...
Yeah, let's... we'll introduce our guest, then... I'm going to amend that fact as well with a similar thing.
Yes.
Our guest this week is a very, very funny comedian, stand-up comedian. You've seen him on Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. It's now it's Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, but you've seen him on the Late Night with Jimmy Fallon.
Ooh.
You've seen him on Live at Gotham, right, Dave?
Yeah.
On Comedy Central. And he was recently on the new season of Last Comic Standing. And you
did not win.
Did not
Sully was out immediately.
you can see him on all those things, or if you come over to our house, you can see him regularly watching Netflix in our living room, because he's also my roommate. So there you go.
Yeah.
Hop on the queue.
Dave, wait.
In the
everybody.
Razzle House. Casa de Razzle.
But back to the things real quick, and then we'll go back to you, Dave. Back in the day, there was a thing called like SoundScam. SoundScam.
Freudian slip.
Well, that's what people would call it. But I mean, it's actually called sound scan. But people would call it like sound scam and all that in the record biz. Because they would use that to inflate the record sales on the opening day as well. Because what that is it's part of the barcode, and it's also part of there's a fragment in when it comes to like BMI and all that stuff for the radio. If you release a track on the radio to get like your Billboard charts on the radio, you can actually there's what it does is there's like a fragment of the song, the wave format of each song that has like an algorithm in it or recorded similar to like Shazam, that when it's played on a radio, it registers as being airplayed, so that way it gets a rating on like the Billboard or whatever. So a lot of music back in the day, you know, years ago, they would figure out somehow what that was, and they would put that in music beds for radio stations, you know, and give them concert tickets and all that. And the payola is illegal, but they would find other ways of getting good ratings and all that, and getting great radio play. And the more radio play you get, the more on the charts it is versus that thing. And then the sound scan thing is it's the barcode on the CDs and all of that. And they would there was ways of getting around. Sometimes they would put the like the barcode for like the CD on like singles and all of that, and charge only sell it for like a dollar or whatever. So then when it's still rung, it still generates as a million cells for like Eminem or for NSYNC and all that. So that's a little insight into the scammy record business back in the late 80s and early 90s. There.
More like sound scam.
Anyways.
Call back to 20 seconds ago.
Yeah, 20 seconds ago. So, our guest is Dave Waite, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello,
everybody.
What's up, man? Thank you for being here.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, man. Good to meet you, too.
I'm fascinated. I always hear these stories about you.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully good.
We'll
find out. tell us, before we get into the facts, tell us about this comedy album you got coming out.
Oh, it's called Hot Doggin'.
Nice. I'm already on board. I don't want to hear anything more.
I recorded in Madison, Wisconsin, and it's about 44 minutes.
Nice.
Just, you know, I'm loose. I showboat it. I keep it, hot dogging.
Real riverboat gambler and sausage.
The sequel with bonus recordings is going to be called Showboating.
Yeah.
Showboating on the Black Diamond.
My last record was called Kaboom. So I got to up the ante.
Exactly. It goes Kaboom, hot dogging, showboating.
Showboating. Freestyling.
Actually, speaking of Wisconsin real quick, I just heard this fact yesterday. The only baseball stadium in America to sell more sausage than beer is the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah, well, they got the sausage races.
Yeah, it's a great way to spend your seventh inning.
You know, nothing like you see a big stuffed guy in a cut, and you're like, hey,
yeah,
running around like
come on, chorizo, kill him.
Yeah, you're like, I want eat that.
Yeah, they all have like mildly racist names.
Really?
Yeah, we talked about this on a recent episode. Yeah, they all have like, it's like Paco Chorizo and Kielbasowitz.
I don't watch sports.
you're telling me you don't watch sausage races? That barely qualifies.
It's just sausages going around in a circle, guys.
Yeah.
Where are you from, man?
I grew up in the Boston area.
Oh, yeah, yeah. One of those people.
I'm one of those people. The proud, the few, the ones who allowed gay marriage and witch burning. Yeah, fucking Southie cat? No, I grew up just outside the city. A lovely little town called Wakefield.
The Southie people seem like the scariest white people in the world.
They are. God bless them, but they are...
Or people in Scotland
are terrifying lot. Yeah, like, Southie is as close as you're going to come to, like, Glasgow.
Is that the town?
It's South Boston. It's like the nickname for the area of South Boston.
Where
like
in accordance is the town?
The town? It's all over the place. That's in like, they filmed in Harvard Square. It takes place in like Charlestown and around Fenway.
Did you ever go down there and get in a fight with people?
No, I knew better. I'm like, oh, you just want to beat up people like me. I'm going to avoid that.
Dan reads comic books. He's not going
into
that. Yeah,
exactly. Professor.
Hey, guys, I bought the new Avengers.
Actually, that's not how Superman got his powers.
You look like you can handle yourself.
Well, that appearances, it's all about appearances. I'm like a puffer fish. I just inflate with air and then release needles full of poison.
So, Dave,
yes.
As I mentioned this morning to you, we like to start off each episode with either the guests providing a fun fact about themselves or something they learned recently. What do you got for us today, Dave?
We'll start with the fact I learned recently.
Yeah.
I found out the Getty, you know, the Getty Museum?
Yeah.
They got that big hill. They use goats to eat. They get a team of goats. They hire some goats. I mean, there's probably a guy that wrangles the goats. You know, there's just freelance
goats.
Hey, Steven, go get some goats.
And then the goats eat up the grass.
Oh, my goodness.
On the side of the hill.
That's ridiculous.
Can you imagine that? The smell of, like, the aroma of a bunch of sweaty goats?
Yeah, that's amazing. Oh, my God.
So that's all...
eco-friendly, I guess.
There's just a goat agent out there.
Yeah.
we've mentioned the Getty on the podcast before. The Getty is a museum here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's
really
a beautiful museum. Right up on a hill, you have to take a tram to get up there. You get some of the most amazing views of the city.
Maybe you go and there'll be goats there.
Yeah, if you're lucky, you go on a good day, you'll see goats feasting on local wildlife on the side.
That's amazing. I feel like I read somewhere else recently that it was like a similar thing. I don't have the facts, but I vaguely remember reading that somebody... It's like they use cattle or goats to keep the grass from overgrowing as
well
at another popular
place. I mean, that makes sense. Like, may as well graze it down.
Yeah.
Huh.
Right on.
Speaking of weird animals, I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but I was at a...
aardvark.
When I was... Yeah. What is their deal? Too many A's. I was at this hotel in Coachella Valley, and I...
Toolback! No.
Hey, don't give a shit. I had a great time. And this guy pulls up on a golf cart, and a dog hops off the golf cart next to him. I'm like, oh, that's cute, a nice little dog. And then I notice like a little crate on the back of the golf cart, and I'm like, what is this? What could be in there? Yeah. And he opens it up and pulls out a frickin' falcon.
What?
And he just like has it on his wrist, and he's like, away! And it flies up. And so the falcon scares away birds of prey because they have other just like pesky birds because they have a real problem with birds bothering hotel guests on the patio and like stealing their breakfast. And then the dog runs along the edges and scares birds out of the bushes. So it's like a 1-2 effect. So they make a really great animated movie.
Did he have
that.
One of those gloves on?
I don't know. I don't remember. I don't think he needed it at that point. He just has like a fucking huge callus
on
his arm.
Speaking of that, there was a thing on ESPN video or whatever, very similar. I don't know if it was baseball or another sports stadium or the FIFA thing for the soccer thing. But there was another thing where there was a falcon or like a hawk or something that was a pet that they would release in the stadium, and it would circle around and scare away all the other birds from swooping in and grabbing like.
And here I thought you didn't watch sports.
I watched Reddit, and it was on Reddit.
Okay. Reddit, the sport unto itself.
It was a video on Reddit. It was like an ESPN sport.
I don't know how that works, the Reddit.
Basically, it's a bunch of strangers yelling up or down about different pictures on the internet.
Yay!
Boo!
And then saying really, like, really mean things to each other in the comment threads.
Yeah. Oh, they just reach new heights just insulting each other.
Oh, it's so fun to just read some.
And I look out at the website and I'm like, they just made. How did they make the message board like a fucking website that people want to go to?
Yeah, well, it's just like the thing is, it just aggregates all the content from across the web. So it's like, who needs to go to another web, all these individual sites, and find it ourselves? Let other schlubs find it and vote it to the top, and I'll just reap the benefits.
I mean, I don't want to say anything. I think, you know, I don't want to say anything negative about the Reddit.
Yeah, about Redditors, be careful.
I don't want them to come for
me. You want them to upvote your album.
Yeah. Up it.
Upvote.
Yeah. Whatever the internet.
Give it
Dig
karma.
Dig sucks.
Give it karma. Yeah, I remember Dig. It was kind of like a...
Yeah, it's still around, sort of.
Is that?
Yeah.
It's because Reddit took
it's
over.
Like the MySpace of Friendsters.
Dig was, Dave, I don't know, Dig was very similar to Reddit, kind of, but it was more... it was similar to Reddit. Reddit is way better.
I mean,
it was,
Dig's got a better name, though. Let's be honest.
That's up for debate.
Yeah, but you can say I read it on Reddit.
Yeah, I don't know. But I like... You dig?
I do not. Unsubscribe.
Can y'all dig it? We can dig it.
Now, the other thing, the personal fact about myself, I won the best looking baby at the county fair.
Really?
When I was a baby.
Oh, it's so cool. Did you get a blue ribbon?
I got a plaque somewhere in my parents' basement. There's a story in the newspaper.
I don't know why that's not hanging on your wall right now.
Yeah, Dave, why don't we have that on our refrigerator?
Like, I would take that to bars with me and be like,
well, the years
hello,
haven't been
ladies.
Kind to me, so I don't know.
Who knows? Our babies could be just as hot.
It's been all downhill. Yeah. I peaked right out the gates.
Oh, I knew I shouldn't have wasted my time being a hot baby.
God damn it. That's funny.
I don't remember it, obviously, since I was a baby. But,
well, hopefully,
what does that say to the other parents? Like how, like, oh, your kids aren't nearly as pretty as this kid.
I remember having a crush on the girl who won, like, in like second or third grade, because I knew she was the other baby.
Oh,
and I was like, maybe,
like, we're just part of a master race of sexy babies.
I was like, maybe that girl was like third grade.
Yeah.
You don't have a lot of game in third
grade.
Yeah,
exactly. If you do, then something's up. Like, you're like that kid from Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's funny. I did not know that.
Yeah.
I live with the
Kitten County.
Yeah.
Kitten County. And
that's a tough county for babies.
Commonwealth of Kentucky.
It sounds like a movie, like the cutest baby from Kenton County. Next on
Disney
Channel.
That's like a play.
Yeah.
A play in three parts. A southern drama. A family torn apart by a fair.
And a mistress.
Yeah.
A fair and a mistress. Got to get that pun in there. Zing. That's funny. That's cool. I did not know that, Dave.
Yeah, well, you told me to bring some facts.
Yeah,
I did. I did my job.
Here's some facts. Here's a couple facts. I'll just bring this up since it's kind of like Comic-Con wasn't too long ago. Dave, everybody here, aside from Dave, went to Comic-Con. But anyways, people listening know about Comic-Con or whatever. Long story short, there's parties at Comic-Con. And like industry parties and stuff like that for like movies promoting things or whatever. And there was a party, Collider. Crave Online.
Crave Online.
I always confuse them. I didn't go to it. It was too far away, so I don't care.
It was on a battleship.
Aircraft carrier or a battleship.
Exactly.
It's the same thing, right?
Slightly different. I think aircraft carrier is larger.
Okay.
A battleship is a smaller, sleeker craft for doing naval warfare.
Okay, well, then we'll say it was on a battleship, so this is still a segue into these facts that
I
got coming up. But
MGMT
played at this party, and I almost went. It was going to be a really cool party, but it was further away from the Comic-Con area that I wanted to adventure
out. Expensive Uber.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it was 3.5 surcharging at the time.
Freaking surge pricing. Get you every time.
It was party on this giant battleship, and I wanted to go because I wanted to be on that big of a battleship. And then just yesterday I was reading, and it struck me. I confused aircraft carrier and battleship when I compiled these couple facts, but it really interests me. When you think of aircraft carriers, like, oh, okay, armies have them, etc., and they're these giant fucking things that transport planes and other things. There are only 20 aircraft carriers in the world currently in service. So in the out of every nation out there with armies and militaries, there are only 20 current in-service aircraft carriers, and the United States has 10 of them.
Wow.
India and Italy both have two. Then China, Spain, France, Russia, Brazil, and Thailand all have one.
Thailand, what are you doing with an aircraft carrier? Did you just find it?
Yeah, like, hey, we find it. We're going to tie it up on the coast over here.
Quick, nobody tell anyone that we have it.
I'm surprised the Russians don't have more.
No, they're like, we'll just take it when we need it. You hold on to it for us. You pay the taxes.
I mean, these are the ones currently in service, so who knows if they're stealing or building anymore.
Who knows what's coming out of those weird-ass holes in Siberia? Russian super carriers.
But I thought that was interesting because you kind of don't really think about that. You think of, like, militaries and, you know, all the billions that are spent on warfare, but, I mean, these giant, monstrous seafaring vessels, there's only 20 in the world currently in service.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how, you know, necessary they are, really. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's air bases everywhere, and those jets can fly so far and
exactly,
all that shit.
Exactly, yeah. They're becoming kind of pointless now. Increasingly unnecessary, except for in last-ditch sci-fi scenarios.
Yeah, because, I mean, jets now, like, Dave, you bring up a good point. They can go really fucking far.
Yeah.
And there's bases, like the United States has bases in every country that don't want us.
I mean, and you have, like, you have to be, like, extremely good to land a fucking jet on one of those things, right?
Yeah, it's super hard.
Super hard.
If Top Gun is to be believed, which I think it is.
I think so.
Yeah.
So, fun fact about Top Gun.
Go on.
The dude who was playing Goose in that that crash scene when Goose had eject actually died.
In the movie? Yeah.
In the movie, the dude who was playing Goose in Top Gun, who was either Goose's stunt double, or he was like the in-flight camera guy filming that scene or whatever. He actually died filming that scene where Goose died because
really?
Spoiler alert: if you haven't seen Top Gun, Goose dies. Yeah, I was reading about that the other day.
Yeah, there was like a big lawsuit or something like that.
Because I read about Top Gun trivia all the time.
Yeah. Every day.
Yeah, and I think they actually, Art, we'll give him, he's supposedly credited in Top Gun as well. Arthur Everett Scholl was an American aerobatic pilot, aerial cameraman, flight instructor, and educator based in Southern California. He died during filming of Top Gun when his Pitt S2 camera plane never recovered from a flat spin and plunged into the Pacific Ocean.
Yikes, they didn't recover his body. Or his aircraft. That's horrifying.
Did they recover the footage at least?
Yikes. I don't know. The cloud was not a thing back then.
Yeah. That's a bummer.
Yeah. Well, RIP, Mr. Scholl.
Arthur Scholl.
Way to bring it down.
Yeah. So,
happy news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about Vegemite.
Yeah. Let's.
It's not just a lyric in the Men at Work song.
Nope. Not anymore.
Was it Men at Work? Vegemite sandwich? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're from Australia.
Down Under, okay.
Yeah.
For some reason, I was thinking it was Flock of Seagulls.
Yeah,
I
mean,
that line makes this Vegemite, you're like, I would like to try that. And then you talk to anybody, they're like, that's the worst thing they've ever heard.
I was saying earlier, I enjoy Vegemite. I will go on the record saying I enjoy Vegemite. I don't want a lot of it. I'm not going to eat it all the time. But
what's it taste like?
It's just kind of like a little salty. It's kind of like a tapenade or something. Like
What?
Like olive tapenade, like that olive spread.
Okay. you answered it with another thing I didn't know.
Yeah. Basically, okay, it's like it's a dark brown Australian food paste. What the fuck? God damn. A dark brown Australian food paste, that sounds appetizing. Made from leftover brewer's yeast extract with various vegetable and spice additives.
Ooh.
Yeah, it has kind of like a salty, savory taste. Usually goes good on a little bit of bread. I'm not doing a good job of selling
here's
this.
Here's the deal. I've never had it. I'm reading everything. I mean, I have exactly what Dan's reading in front of me, but I want to hear him try and dig himself out of this hole because he was saying how delicious it was.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's the most delicious. I'm saying other people are wrong and stupid, and they have dumb taste buds, and they're wrong.
Here's what's interesting. Here, like Vegemite and Nutella are kind of the same thing to me. Is I've never had either.
They are so different.
It's like a chocolate.
Yeah, yeah, but I've never had either. Is what I'm saying. And they're popular in New Zealand. And the only reason I know about New Zealand is because I had a roommate that lived there. And you need New Zealand to win Risk.
Nutella is popular. Have you ever spoken to a white American female? Then you've met someone with whom Nutella is very popular.
Nutella is huge over here.
Yeah.
People crave it.
It's like there's a weird cult around Nutella.
People love Nutella.
My roommates, they used the, and this was in New York, they used Nutella for this thing called a firecracker.
What is that?
It was like graham crackers, and then somehow you put the weed in the Nutella, and then you heat it up for exactly 23 minutes, and then you eat it. And then you get blasted.
Somehow I knew weed was going to be involved. My friend actually showed me a website recently. He gets his drugs delivered via a company in Los Angeles. And they have medicated peanut butter and medicated Nutella. And I was like, well, that is dangerous. But anyway, back to this savory, dark brown Australian food paste.
I love how it was exactly 23 minutes, like the length of a Seinfeld episode.
If you do 24 minutes, God help you. Well, it's because they're probably stoned already.
Yeah.
So they were smoke.
Very, very scientific about it. Well, my roommate, he was like, he knew chemistry. I think he studied it. So he also made this thing called the Green Dragon, where it was some sort of weed extract. They would make it, and then they would put it in a Diet Coke, and then they would get real high.
Oh, my God. What's wrong with just smoking?
That's amazing.
It's so complex. Anyway.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Back to Vegemite.
Back to Vegemite. I guess so.
So
why didn't it catch on here?
So many reasons. So many, many reasons. Well, we'd say we have a different palate here, I would argue.
There's also Marmite, too, which is similar.
It's very similar. That was invented in the late 19th century by a German scientist named Justus von Liebig. He discovered that brewer's yeast could be concentrated, bottled, and eaten, so it was a good way to make use of all that extra yeast they had lying around. So in 1902, the Marmite Food Extract Company is formed in Burton-upon-Trent, Staffordshire, England. That's the most British name of all time. And Marmite was its main product. It took the name Marmite from a French term for a large covered earthenware or metal cooking pot. And that is still the image that is on Marmite jars in the UK.
Yeah. It's like a kiln, like a witch's brew. Almost,
yeah, and it was
like
supplied by the byproduct yeast was supplied by a great British brewery, Bass.
Yeah. So essentially, and just to paraphrase for the listeners here, Vegemite and Marmite is the paste that you know people will put on like toast and stuff like that, and it's a paste that's made out of like the leftovers of brewing beer. You get excess yeast. Extracts and stuff like that's just sitting around. So they would take that and they would purify it in a sense and then add, like, at least for, like, the Vegemite, they would add, like, onions and celery and salts and stuff like that to add a little bit more of a taste to it, and that would flavor the paste a little
bit. So it's like, it's basically just like a salty, spiced paste. And that is a big issue for a lot of people because they're like, it looks like you're spreading tar on a cracker.
And
that's just not appetizing for many people, but...
No.
You know what? I'll stand by it.
Well, yeah, I'll have to try it out.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Don't make it a point of interest, but if someone's like, hey, do you want to try Vegemite? Be like, yeah, sure.
I think you're going to get your first sponsor.
Yeah. Today's episode brought to you by Marmite. That is a thing.
I don't want that. I want those Google
Enter
coasters.
The offer code. Today we learn.
Yeah.
I want
use the offer code sticky paste.
Yeah. I don't want free Marmite. I want that. I was listening to the Nerdist podcast. Somebody, like, they mentioned these Goo Goo clusters or whatever from Kentucky or whatever, and somebody sent them a bunch. Somebody sent them a box of them, and I Googled it, obviously, and they look very amazing. So let's just Goo Goo cluster, Goo
Listen,
Goo cluster, Goo Goo cluster.
You said they're from Kentucky. I just looked at Dave. He looked at me like, don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
So,
I've never heard of them.
Goo Goo clusters, I don't know what they are.
They look amazing.
I want to know. I feel like it's one of those weird, like, single family or, like, regional terms where everyone has, like, oh, I call these snickerdoodles. I call them, like, flangernons.
Yo, have you guys ever had no-bake cookies?
What?
Do you know what no-bake cookies are?
No.
That's Michigan has them. They're like they're so good. They're these cookies. They're like chocolate and they're like oatmeal type of cookies and they're very delicious. I'm just gonna say that they're very delicious. I'm gonna have my mom send me some. Mom, if you're listening, I know you don't listen to this because you don't know how to work your iPhone, but I will text you as soon as this is done. Hugs and kisses. Make me some no-bake cookies because they're very delicious. If you guys don't know what no-bake cookies are, find a recipe and make some because they're very good. Anyways, yes.
All right.
All right. Here's something that's out of the – we'll completely change gears here.
Go on.
This kind of – listen, I'm not a scientist, and my mind is blown fairly
easy. I always love
easy.
When people tell you they're not a scientist. We figured it out. Your name is Razzle.
It's Dr. Razzle.
I'm a real casual doctor.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I like to freak you out with degrees.
This is
people are always like, I'm not a scientist, and people look at me like, are you a truck driver?
I'm no truck driver, but these cement here is no. But anyways, so you hear of like you get tetanus shots when you're going hiking or whatever. People are always like, watch out for nails, or you're working in woods or whatever, anything like that. They're like, watch out for rusted nails, etc. Because you can get tetanus. Mm-hmm. If you step on a rusted nail, you can get tetanus.
Right, everybody knows it. That's
everybody,
how you get tetanus.
Everybody knows.
That's how
this.
I would choose
your,
to get
your,
tetanus.
Your jaw will get locked up, etc.
If you don't get it treated.
And getting a tetanus shot is one of the most painful things I've ever had done.
It sucks.
I've had one when I was like in high school. I was like 18 or whatever, and I got one. And I've had many hurtful things happen to me. Having a tetanus shot was very hurtful. You know,
breakups.
I've been called lots of names. Tetanus shots hurt worse. But anyways, I always thought tetanus. It was like, okay, the rust, etc. The whatever. But the rust isn't what causes the tetanus. No. It's not.
What?
It's bacteria. Tetanus is caused by the tetanus bacterium Clostridium tetani, and tetanus is often associated with rust, especially rusty nails. Now, objects that accumulate rust are often found outdoors or in places that harbor anaerobic bacteria, but the rust itself does not actually cause the tetanus. The rough surface of the rusty metal merely provides a prime habitat for the tetani endospores to reside in, and the nail affords a means to puncture the skin, etc., and deliver
bacteria. Since the rusty nail is outside, it's in a good environment for anaerobic bacteria like tetanus to grow.
Chill
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the nail is just like a dingy ass motel.
It is.
You don't get an STD from a motel. You get it from whatever you do inside that dingy motel room.
They're just waiting there for some rube to step
on
it.
Go ahead. I'm just a real casual gas station toilet seat. Sit on me.
Yeah. That's exactly it.
You know, they did some study where like the toilet seat isn't your hand has probably got more stuff.
Yeah, I also open doorknobs with my mouth, so that's probably another big issue.
Oh, that's a good.
Yeah, what can I say? My tongue is prehensile.
they always say that because I mean.
So I mean, you told us that, but I mean, still don't step on a nail.
Yeah, I mean, like just generally speaking, that's probably sound advice.
I mean, regardless, don't step on a nail of any sort.
Yeah,
or
we could split the hairs here.
Yeah,
but
if you especially don't want tetanus. Don't step on rusty nails.
Yeah, or just put condoms on your feet.
Yeah. You know, the one thing that can never pierce a condom? A nail.
Yeah. So that was... I mean, everything strikes me as interesting on the show, obviously, but I always thought it was like the rust, like the flakes or the you know, whatever deteriorates the nail, whatever acid that is that causes the rust... on the metal, I attributed that to getting in your bloodstream and causing tetanus, but it's actually just the bacteria.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing you mentioned about bacteria being on your hands, because we're going to talk about the origins of liquid soap.
Oh,
what
please
an
tell
exciting
us about this fact.
Subject.
Nice lead-in.
Thank you.
Segway.
So soft soap, or liquid soap. Soft soap is the trade name of Colgate-Palmolive's liquid hand soap and body wash, and it was first developed by a William Shepherd of New York. He was granted patent number 49561 for his, quote, improved liquid soap on August 22nd, 1865, when he discovered that a small amount of conventional soap could be mixed with large amounts of spirits and ammonia to create a soap with the consistency of molasses. So this became very common in public areas, but generally wasn't found at homes at the time because the manufacturer was probably too expensive at the time to make it suitable for mass market consumption. But then in 1980, an entrepreneur named Robert R. Taylor, he began selling his product as soft soap through his own company, Minnetonka Corp. in Chaska, Minnesota. And now he knew that others would copy the soap in a pump bottle idea. So what he did is he purchased 100 million small hand pump bottles from the only two manufacturers in the U.S. that made them, so that any competitors wouldn't be able to buy any for at least a year. So he gave himself a year head start, which gave him time to establish his brand. And it worked, because within 6 months, he sold over $25 million worth of soft soap. And the package made it very easy to spot on store shelves when nearly every other soap in the market came in bar form. And then, in 1987, he sold the soft soap brand to Colgate-Palmolive, and now he's dead.
He's got
eight. Is he dead?
Yeah, he died last year, August 29th, yeah. RIP.
Isn't that weird, though? He's like...
a clean death.
But he was like a visionary for like soap. But I guess soap does save a lot of people's lives.
Exactly. And, yeah, or at least makes your hands smell like burnt vanilla
but
sugar.
He just had like his grand vision soap. But I guess, you know, like I said, whatever.
A pump bottle in every home.
It's very interesting like how, like you say visionary, because that's exactly it is. Every, you know, he... not only was he smart enough to realize you could just put this liquid soap, you could put it in bottles as a liquid form, but to the foresight to actually research and buy up all the bottles,
yeah,
so nobody else could do that.
100 million bottles so no one else could compete.
And then just imagine, like, you walk... imagine nowadays, like, you walk down grocery store aisles and there's all sorts of shit. Like, there's all different size bottles.
Everything. Oh, yeah.
But back in the, you know, the late 1800s, you know, well, I guess this is in the 1980s or whatever, you know, you still got, you got the Dove boxes and it's all bar soaps. And then all of a sudden you come, there's like bottles sitting there.
Oh, that's, you know what I mean? What's
like
this?
Can you imagine getting that call at the bottle factory? They're just like... hello. How many? Get the fuck out of here.
We won't be able to make any more for at least a year.
Is this Kevin? Kevin, are you putting this on?
Oh, my goodness. I'm going on vacation.
We're eating dinner tonight. Oh, we saved another bottle factory.
Honey, make reservations at Ruth's Chris.
The bottle factory goes to Ruth's Chris after that?
We're sold out for...
I'm going to have surf. And turf.
But yeah, I mean, I prefer...
soap bottle magnet. You see that bottle there?
That man there, that's Johnny Bottles, richest man in this village.
He's the heir to the soft soap fortune.
Well, I would venture so far as to say that soap, those bottles, sold like hotcakes. Now,
well,
the question remains... where does that phrase come from? Thank you. I was waiting for a nice musical interlude. Where's that phrase?
It's like a Nickelodeon kid show.
Yeah. So this actually came up earlier today. My buddy Albro, who's a very funny guy on Twitter, check him out at Broman Console. He was wondering where in time the phrase sells like hotcakes came from and why hotcakes were such an in-demand item. So I decided to look into it a little bit, and I found on Mental Floss. So the word hotcake itself dates back to the late 17th century, and pancake first appeared in England around 1400, with the figurative meaning of selling like hotcakes to be in great demand. That didn't appear until around 1840. But there's no evidence that there was, like, this great demand or, like, incredible desire for hotcakes. It was just something that, you know, most etymologists, they're pretty stumped as to the exact origin. But hotcakes, pancakes are something that are usually sold at, like, church fairs and, like, socials and just, like, local community events. And they were usually a pretty popular item. So they would usually sell as fast as they could be made, hence the phrase being coined, sold like hotcakes, and then it spread because it sounded pretty sweet. And they also offered an alternate explanation that in Britain, Canada, and Australia, pancakes are traditionally eaten on Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent in the Christian calendar. Americans know it as Fat Tuesday, a.k.a. the beginning of Mardi Gras. Or Party Gras, depending on how you like to celebrate. Because it's an occasion where you use up all the fat, butter, and every other ingredient that people are going to try to, like, not eat during Lent. So, like, you know, during Lent you give up something like hotcakes, for example. So in anticipation of, like, 40 days without eating those sweet, sweet hotcakes. People would gobble them down as fast as they humanly could. So they wouldn't literally be sold, but they would be going as fast as hotcakes, something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the former on that one. Nice try, Britain, Australia, and Canada. But I'm just going to go with the fact that pancakes are just universally beloved since at least the 1400s.
Speaking of food here, we got a. I mean, that's very interesting. Hotcakes are hot.
I think hotcakes get. There's something sexual about, you know, like hotcakes.
Hey, how's it going there? Hotcakes.
Yeah.
Like a cat call.
Yeah, I used to call them Johnny Cakes back in the day as well.
Hey, Johnny Cakes.
Hey, Johnny Cakes. Private eye.
You would say, like, if you had a buffet and there were like hotcakes and there were all sorts of food, you would say, oh, that's like a smorgasbord.
I would say this is a veritable smorgasbord.
No, first off,
where is the word smorgasbord from?
Smorgasbord, I believe, is German.
Smorgasbord. Is it from the Swedish chef?
I'll tell you right now. First off, I always thought it was smorgasbord. Like the Borgs from Star Trek, but it's actually board, smorgasbord. And believe it or not, here's a fun fact.
It is Swedish. You were right.
And, smorgasbord. While Dan has more facts about smorgasbord, here's a little bit of a trivia. In order for something to be technically considered a smorgasbord of food, it needs to contain both hot and cold dishes. So if a buffet only has like warm things, it's not technically a smorgasbord because it needs to also have cold things.
Is he really saying it right?
No, smorgasbord.
Smorgasbord.
You can add whatever. It's comprised of two words. It's a portmanteau. So it's Swedish, comprised of the word smorgas, which is an open-faced sandwich, and board, which is table. So it's like a table of like open-faced ingredients, essentially. You can break that down even further. S'more is like butter or smear. Gas is goose. Goss is goose, but later referred to the small pieces of butter that formed and floated to the surface of cream when it was churned. What the hell, Wikipedia?
You know, like, the English language, the reason, like, besides our own arrogance and Britain's arrogance, it's the language that will just take all the other words. Other languages, they're done. You can't add new words in it. For real. And then the English language is like, put it in there.
Bootylicious.
Yeah.
That's a word.
Twerk.
It's ever evolving. And also, it doesn't worry about the gender of whoever the fuck. So it's it's easier to, you know, than these other languages.
Exactly. Yeah. We have no gendered verbs and all that to worry about conjugation-wise.
Like smorgasbord fucking shouldn't be in our fucking language, but we're like,
I believe that smorgasbords are unisex, so...
Okay.
Have no fear,
okay,
whoever
Dave.
You are.
All right, Dave. Challenge accepted. What would you call, if you're not going to say, oh, it's a smorgasbord, what would you call it?
What would I call it?
Yeah.
Hey, a lot of shit.
Hey, we got a lot of shit for breakfast.
Hey, guys, we got a lot
I would probably call it a buffet.
A buffet?
Look at this spread.
Yeah.
It's a nice paste.
Sweet spread. Oh, you're talking about my Vegemite collection? It's a smorgasbord of different mites from around the region.
It's definitely interesting how, like, exactly that is, like, every year, like, the dictionaries will be like, oh, we're adding this word. Because it's like, if you say a word long enough, it becomes part of the lexicon.
Yeah, selfie.
But it's also interesting.
Selfie.
It's also interesting because I'd be curious to know, of let's say the last 50 words that got added into the dictionaries that were because they were popular lexicons, how many of those actually retain? Do people still say bootylicious? Do people still say, you know, church or whatever, you know, like Snoop Dogg? Like over the last 10 years, do the newer words hold up versus the old, like the actual real words, or do they just throw them in there for people?
Well, I mean, it depends on context, because I use bootylicious fairly frequently because I'm constantly not ready for this jelly. But I think other ones like truthiness, I don't think that really holds up because, you know, that whole like meme, as it were, passed. Yeah. It faded out from the zeitgeist. So.
But any like new internet words are definitely words that we still use, you know, or using, you know, and that they. If you went back in time before like 1992 and said any word about the internet, people would be like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
True.
Yeah.
Like Wi-Fi or like streaming.
or the internet.
Exactly. Well, it's interesting. Certain words have deeper origins than we expect, like internet words in particular. Case in point, meme.
Yeah.
Like, that seems like a modern concept, but it's been around in one form or another for a long time. It's a shortened form of Greek word, but it was like really coined in the modern lexicon by Richard Dawkins in like 1976 or something.
So, oh, is that the guy, the atheist dude?
Yeah, he's like, there is no God. I'm British.
Also, here's a meme of Gordy Sorty. Of that Ermagerd. Here's a meme of a cat.
Smorgasbord.
While we're talking about words here, here's the thing. Here's a phrase. Everybody, you guys, Dave, you've heard of like the whole kit and caboodle, right? You've heard that phrase, right?
You don't shut up about the caboodle.
Everything but the kitchen sink, the whole kit and caboodle.
Yeah. I've heard that.
The caboodle actually means the entire group of something. Caboodle in itself means the entire group of something. So if you're saying the entire kit and caboodle, like the phrase is, the kit and caboodle, it's redundant because the caboodle is already everything there. Jeez.
But what the fuck is a caboodle?
Yeah. I think it's
what's a kit?
Caboodle, it's something you get from an ATM machine.
Is it like a cab where you keep noodles?
Yeah.
It's a cabinet
full
of noodles.
It's a cabinet noodle, yeah.
Cabinet noodle.
Yeah, another, okay. It's like the smorgasbord.
It's a square-shaped noodle.
Yeah. There's something. What's the origin of caboodle? Because if caboodle means the entire group of something.
Is it in reference to Kabbalah?
I hope not. Those Jewish magicians, they've done it again.
First known use.
You
got use.
A Kabbalah and you have some caboodle noodles.
First known use is 1848, apparently. I don't see a word splitting up the origins of the word.
Do you interlay like Jeopardy music every once in a while when you're like,
we just let it happen.
We should.
Just you throw a track underneath all the.
Well, I'm on Wiktionary, and it's saying the etymology.
What the fuck is Wiktionary?
It's a dictionary. It's like an open source dictionary.
Oh,
there's
okay,
fucking then. Wiki everything now. They're saying it's U.S. slang originally from the mid-19th century, and it's actually thought to be from kit and boodle. So it's a kit and caboodle is doubly redundant because caboodle is in and of itself potentially a portmanteau of kit and boodle. The whole boodle... was from the 1830s. The whole caboodle was 1848.
I'm also looking here for
but
boodle.
That doesn't explain what the fuck it is.
Well,
bro.
Boodle.
It's just a collection of stuff.
Boodle. Oh. Boodle is etymology. I can never say this fucking goddamn word right. But boodle is supposedly Dutch, boudel, and it means money. And especially when acquired or spent illegally or improperly, swag, according to this. And then,
swag.
And then for the U.S. dialect, for boodle, the second definition for the Dutch word of boodle is the whole collection or lot, mm-hmm. also known as caboodle. So,
see, that's a Dutch word. See, we're just like, we just Dutch. Steal anything. Hey, yeah, we'll take your word, bro.
Yeah,
we'll take your words.
We are appropriating culture and making it better. Welcome to America.
I know that's what people, they get bent out of shape about all the Spanish stuff. And I'm like, we're just going to take their word. We already
I
do.
I know. Look what we did to Quesaritos. Taco Bell. Making Mexico better one day at a time.
Yeah, America is... Yeah, I love how we say America, which America is more than just the United States. Like we'll call the United States like America in itself, but America is actually comprised of Canada. It's comprised of Mexico.
That's when you do the Americas.
Yeah,
because you have North America, Central America, South America, but we're the only country with America in the name.
Correct,
so.
But it's the United States of America, meaning there's North America and South America. So it's just the United States of America. Now, if Canada got their states united and called them states, we'd have to figure something out because they'd also be United States.
Yeah, well, it's just like America. China. You wouldn't just call it, the People's Republic. It's the People's Republic. Yeah. It's China.
Yeah, you call
it
China.
It's fucking China.
But then you call it Canada, even though it's part
but
of...
But sometimes you're like, USA.
So yeah, exactly.
We're real United loose States. With everything.
Yeah.
You know who we are. You'll know
say,
us.
Say, welcome to America or Team America, but it really should be Team United States of America.
Hashtag USA, hashtag swag.
Hashtag...
Swag tag,
boodle.
Swag.
I guess here's something about, I guess, what we're talking about nations.
Go on.
The here's a little bit of the London Zoo. The phrase aquarium derives from the London Zoo. The London Zoo was actually technically invented the phrase aquarium. There has been an aquarium at the London Zoo since 1853. The zoo's first aquarium, the London Zoo's first aquarium, was also the world's first public aquarium. Now, the word aquarium also originates at the London Zoo. Beforehand, the term for a fish enclosure which was the aquatic vivarium. Now, basically, it's aquarium. The phrase aquarium was originated at the London Zoo, and the London Zoo also has the world's oldest
panda.
the world's oldest
Reginald
public aquarium as well.
Bambooing.
Originally, fish enclosures. Originally, aquariums were known as aquatic vivariums.
Yeah.
A vivarium is an area usually enclosed for keeping and raising animals or plants for observation or research. Often a portion of the ecosystem for the vivarium, particularly the species, is on a smaller scale.
So basically what you know is an exhibit, if you're trying to Latinize it a little bit.
Yes.
It would be a vivarium.
Correct.
And like aquarium is just a portmanteau of those.
Correct. Correct. Yep. Yep. You go to, you know, a zoo and they... That's a vivarium.
Yeah.
You go to a, you know, you...
I want to see the monkey house.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the London Zoo has the oldest aquarium, and it originated the word aquarium.
Cool. I've never been to London Zoo, but I will say, for anyone listening out there, the coolest aquarium I've ever been to is in Osaka, Japan. It's like 7 or 8 stories tall.
Place drop.
Yep, that's right. Had some takoyaki. That's fried octopus. Get on my level. No, it's so cool because you start at the top, and it's like fish that are closer to the surface, and you have some like stuff. Like there's some birds up there. They have some penguins, stuff like that. And you go low as you go down each floor. The water level gets lower and lower till you get to the bottom, and you have like jellyfish and horrifying space crabs.
Oh,
so,
wow. That's
yeah,
awesome.
It's really, really cool. I can't, if you ever get the chance and you're in Japan, you're looking for a great place to go, I cannot recommend that enough.
Started from the top, now we're at the bottom.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that Drake song, but like tragic and about drowning.
In reverse.
Do they have a sushi place in there?
At the bottom, that would be amazing. Just like the freshest sushi, like, oh, well, he didn't perform today at his show, did not perform for the kids, so now we are feasting on his corpse.
I've, never been to Japan. I might be going next year.
Oh, yeah?
There's a, my buddy's been there before, and there's a mountain, Mount
Fuji?
Maybe. Is that the
biggest
mountain?
Is it the one, like, right outside of Tokyo?
It's the one that takes, like, 14 hours to hike up to the top of it.
I don't know.
Like,
it takes
14
hours.
There's, like, a mountain, like, 2 hours away. Why, you're going all the way to Japan for a mountain, bro?
Well, there's, like, it's, like, 9 hours to hike up or something like that. I don't know. My buddy's been there. He's done it. He says it's awesome.
Yeah, there's a lot of, there's a lot of mountainous areas in Japan, but I'm assuming Mount Fuji is the one.
But I think I might
about.
Be going there next August.
It's incredible.
Yeah. Do you hike the mountain?
Well, because I've never been to Japan, I want to go to Japan and just see other cultures. But I think I
Well, there's one. Yeah. It's the Japanese culture.
Listen, there's a large Brazilian population there.
Really?
You don't even know a large Brazilian population.
I don't know if you're putting me on.
No, dude, I've been there twice. I was there in February, and I studied abroad there in college. I studied abroad there, so I know a little bit.
I mean, obviously, the hiking thing, hiking that mountain. Is intriguing to me because I love hiking, but I also I want to go to Japan. I want to. That's on my bucket list. Like as I'm young, I feel like the older I get, the less likely I will be almost to travel to those places. And granted, I'm 32 and I'm you know I'm getting there, but
almost dead.
Yeah, four more years.
I definitely want to go to Japan. I really want to see Machu Picchu before because I keep reading that they're going to stop the tourism area.
Yeah,
there.
They're going to renovate and put in a Dave and Buster's. no, but I will say I was listening to actually the Nerdist podcast and Anthony Bourdain was on and they asked him like where is the one place he should go and he said Tokyo. It'll change your life and I don't know if it'll change your life but I definitely recommend going. I think it's incredible.
Yeah, I mean I go to Tokyo but I also if I'm going to go to Japan I want to dance around Tokyo like not dance but I want to go outside of Tokyo because in the end that's just a future city. I really would like to see
Well, here's the thing. It's not just a future city. There's like you'll be in one area and it's like modern megalopolis, but then you'll go to another neighborhood. It's like 2,000-year-old temples. So
yeah,
it's like
that's
a
what
nice...
I want. Like I really want to experience most of. Like we're gonna get that $500 train pass or whatever.
Yeah,
it's like it's like a train, but it's like a $500 pass or whatever, and it takes
the JR
you all
pass.
Over. Yeah,
yeah,
takes you all
Japan
over
Japan Rail,
all over Japan.
How long were you over there in the shit?
long enough.
Japan.
First time I was there about 5 months, and most recently I was there about 2 weeks.
Did you ever you hook up with a Japanese lady?
Got to catch them all. that is all I will say. Hashtag yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
You can't. They love. No, I'm gonna stop.
Gonna get out of this hole before I bury myself alive.
Do you have a lady friend at home?
I do indeed.
All right, I'll let you off the hook. I don't want to make it all scandalous.
It's all good.
Yeah, but this was also long time.
Yeah, no, this was like back long in. This was back in 2008. So yeah. It's been a minute.
Fun time.
Yeah. Is your girlfriend now just a regular white? Or
yeah. I'd say regular white. Bright white, fluorescent.
She's the vanilla Charleston, too.
Yeah. Madagascar vanilla.
A regular white.
All right, so how about these kind of hot in these vivariums?
That's
nobody
a track
wants to hear about fish. They want to hear about.
that's a track on Dave's album, Regular White.
Yeah.
bonus.
Yeah, keep listening after the last track for 17 minutes, then it starts playing. Why do they always put so much space between the end of an album and a bonus track? It's like, we all know it's there. Don't make me sit through this.
I mean, what
bonus track?
Holy shit, while we're talking about CDs. Fuck it. Here's a fact. I was listening to the podcast 99% Invisible, which is a very informative podcast. I really love it. And remember when CDs first came out and they were in like those tall, long boxes?
Yeah.
And then they resorted to like the plastic, reusable plastic things? That was because when CDs first came out, record stores were furious and didn't want to carry the CDs because all of their shelving units were built for
records.
Record sizes, the records, and they didn't want to have to renovate all their shelvings to fit these smaller CDs. So the record labels were like, okay, well, we'll put them in these boxes so that way they're the same height of a record, and that way you can fit two CDs next to each other in a normal record slot. Then they ended up they did that for a while. But then they ended up also using those plastic shelvings. And then over time they stopped doing that because it was costing the record companies money, and the record companies decided that they were saving like 25 cents a they were paying 25 mm-hmm. cents a box, the record companies. So then the record companies were like, well, instead of paying 25 cents a box, let's just give the record stores a rebate to renovate their shelving nice. Units and all of that. So then that was the thing. That's
yeah,
what
just cheaper there. In the long run for everybody.
Yeah, I never really realized that and knew about that. Now, I mean, I remember the boxes. I remember, you know, in the late 90s, early 90s, buying CDs and them coming in these long boxes. And it's like, what the fuck is
clank, clank, clank,
it's just a huge box. Like, what's the point of this box? It was to appease
it's like
the...
like when you open a bag of chips and it's like 90% air.
Absolutely. It's like, you know, it's for purely for advertising and for stocking purposes. That was because so they would fit in the same shelves as records.
Well, it makes sense. You want to make the most of your space, but you'd think like, hey, why don't we have this? Why don't we renovate these shelves so we can store double the product?
Yeah, well, it costs money, and they ended up doing that. Actually,
yeah,
they ended up doing that.
Well, everything worked out. Now look, we all use CDs every day. I'm using one right now.
Now imagine like,
what if I was? What if I was doing an extended visual bit?
You got, yeah.
You don't put your CDs on your fucking. You don't put your podcast on CDs.
Yeah, I press a limited amount and I go outside, usually nightclubs, and I'm just like, bro, buy my mixtape.
Hey, take this
yo
for
man,
free.
It's free. You know, you gonna walk away like that? You're not gonna pay me $5? They always make you feel so bad when you take it. Finally,
you just don't put it. Never put it in your hand.
Yeah, no, I just like you smack it out of their hand. They also
just
get
don't
pissed.
Touch it.
Never break stride. Yeah. Never make eye contact. No.
Yeah, although.
No.
One time I accidentally got guilted into buying one, and it was the worst fucking album I've ever heard. It was just, it was uniquely terrible. So, sorry, nameless Boston area rapper.
I can't believe a record company hasn't came up with that fake backstory. You know?
Yeah, right?
Oh, I was just, you know, my nephew, like, it wouldn't be the record executive.
Exactly.
He's too crusty, but his nephew was walking through Times Square, and the guy made him buy the CD, and he was like, this is amazing, and then now they're on Letterman.
Yeah. I mean, they sort of have that, that was like 50 Cent's backstory. He's like selling his mixtapes out of the back of his, like, car trunk.
Yeah.
And then he got shot 9 times, and now he is made of vitamin water.
He's made of vitamin.
Yeah. He just dissolved his body into vitamin water.
As interesting as 50 Cent is, you know, his first album, I fucking loved it. You know, yeah. 50 Cent was, I'm really talented dude.
He got rich,
but
then he died trying.
I respect the fuck out of the dude as a businessman, because now, not only, you know, he was smart enough to take his first album money and buy a portion of vitamin water, which was genius, because now that gave him billions of dollars. Yeah. And also, what else does he want to do? He's like, 50 Cent's kind of like the Steve Martin of like hip hop. Do you know what I mean?
All those rappers, it's like a rapper was like, rapping is just a side product of being a business. Like,
yeah, but some rappers spend all their money on fucking looking rich.
But
and
it's
being
like,
a rapper.
Imagine if rock and roll was. I mean, some rock and roll guys have gotten out of their business, but imagine like, hey, that guy rocks so hard he's got his own corporation.
Yeah. I mean, Gene Simmons owns a lot of shit. Gene Simmons, here's the thing.
Yeah, but he's a douche, you know? Yeah,
yeah. I'm sure the same could have been said for a while about Fitty.
Yeah.
I mean, who do you want to hang out with? You want to hang out with Ace Frehley, or do you want to fucking hang out with Gene Simmons? I want to fucking hang out with Ace, who's a fucking wild card. Or I go over and watch Gene count his money all day.
But if you hang out with Ace Frehley, you're going to be the one picking up the bill.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Excuse me, Ace Frehley has a very successful Etsy store.
Does he?
He makes friendship bracelets.
He makes Starman friendship bracelets.
He makes his own candles.
That he has to license from.
But Gene Simmons is such a maniac. There's no...
Yeah.
I don't want to get in some Twitter war with him.
Hell no.
But 50 Cent, he's like... he's got all this money, and he wants to act, so what does he do? He produces all these movies, and like they start like Bruce Willis and shit, like they'll pay, like he'll fund these movies, and because he wants to be an actor, and he'll, you know, he'll get good actors to work in.
He's like Tyler Perry without a vision.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I respect the hell out of him for doing it though, whereas you take, you know, Ludacris can actually act, he's doing that, but then you take all these other hip hoppers and it's like they go bankrupt, or like DMX, you know, you like for,
now
like,
DMX is just relegated to screaming on theme park rides.
Yeah, impersonates police officers behind airports and gets arrested.
Is that what he did?
Yeah, a long time ago.
Oh, DMX, what are you doing?
Yeah, what you want?
I remember one time, I may be misremembering this, but I remember reading that one time T.I. got arrested because he was trying to buy a machine gun in the parking lot of a Walmart.
Why didn't he just go inside?
I know.
Hey, all right.
He didn't want to buy them in bulk. I just want one. It's probably one of those things where he's like about to walk inside. This guy rolls by in a van like, yo, man, you want a good deal on a machine gun or speakers? They both fall off the back of this truck.
All they got is pink machine guns inside.
You don't want to get one with the Animaniacs on it.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well,
that's so funny. Right on.
Totally.
I say, here's the deal. Our listeners know. I mean, the few listeners we have know the things I say a lot. I'm not a scientist. Peanut butter, Batman, and that's
funny. You just
got to
bump up that.
That's funny.
Get your merch going.
Yeah, right? Funny. Wait until we unveil the t-shirts.
Well, I'll be honest. I doubt anybody out there would buy shirts. I maybe they would,
people
maybe they
love
wouldn't.
Buying shirts.
Yeah,
maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't. Our fans are awesome. Like,
yeah,
our friends,
they're super rad.
They're very rad. They listen. They keep us in the charts, and you know they tweet at us on occasion. And
maybe a mug.
We appreciate the fuck out of them.
People love mugs.
We love them, and we love them dearly. And Nerdist recently mentioned that they're getting a store going or whatever.
Yeah,
and
there's going to be a store coming.
Yeah. And Dan said something the other day, a few podcasts ago, that I thought actually could be kind of like a funny shirt. The Learn Down for What? You said that. I thought that would be actually kind of funny on a shirt. Learn Down for What?
Yeah.
Like almost like a, I don't know. I don't know what it would look like, but I thought that would be kind of neat for on a shirt or not. So if you think that'd be funny on a shirt, or if you guys
you should make your Twitter people.
Yeah, exactly. If you guys have any ideas for merch that you don't mind us open sourcing and or stealing directly. Yeah, yeah. You know, tweet it at us at TWL Podcast.
Absolutely, what Dan said.
Yeah,
yeah. So we're approaching our time. Dave, we really appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks
coming
for coming,
on the
dude.
Show.
Oh yeah, man.
And where can people find you on the world wide web?
Dave's got a very funny. He's a very, very funny stand up comedian.
Where can they purchase hot dogs?
Sell yourself, whore yourself out. Yeah, tell everybody about yourself.
Oh man, you may put it like that.
Yeah.
Dave Waite Comedy, that's for .com, and the Twitter is the same, and then I'm on Facebook, and yeah, my record will be out August 12th, but you can I don't know when this is coming out.
This will be coming out this coming Monday, so that is the August 4th.
But you're going to pre-order it on Amazon and iTunes, so nice. You can pre-order it there. And then I got the other record. And
sweet. So buy Kaboom now while you wait for...
Or you can buy Hot Dog, and then when the internet says it's released, then it'll come into your phone.
Well, no, I meant like while you're waiting for it to unlock. Buy them both.
Yeah, unlock it. I don't know.
Pre-purchase, pre-download, and then you'll finally be able to listen to the tracks.
And then, you if you buy it, then Twitter me and be like, I'm a hot dog. And then that's what...
Hashtag, I'm a hot dog. If you can't fit that, I'm a hot D. Or H-Doc. We'll know. We'll know what you're talking about.
It's all part of my marketing campaign. Yeah. I'm a hot dog.
It's all about your personal hashtag brand.
It works.
Speaking of brands, we are also on Twitter. Yes. You can find me there at Osteoferocious.
Ooh. You can also find me on Twitter at my name is Razzle2.
And if you want to talk to the podcast directly, that corporate entity, it's still a person. You can find us at TWL Podcast. We're also on Gmail, twlpodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan.
Yeah. Actually, I realized this the other day, Dan.
Yeah.
I was getting our business cards printed up and everything for Comic-Con and all of that. And our email is not actually twlpodcast@gmail.
Have I been lying to everyone this whole time?
We've been lying to everybody this whole time. The one associated with the Twitter account is, I believe, todaywelearnedcast@gmail.com, but I couldn't remember the password to that, so I started one that would be easier to remember for everybody. You can send us a Gmail at todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com.
So that's a fact.
That's not
TWL Podcast.
It is. That blew my mind.
Todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com.
So the emails have just been going out in the ether?
We haven't gotten... Listen, you probably got a reply from my pal, the mailer demon.
Holy shit. I was like, I was getting these, I was making these cards, and I'm like, all right, fuck, I originally was going to put both of our emails on there, and I'm like, maybe I don't want these.
Yeah, exactly.
All these strangers.
You want
like
a nice press account.
So then I started, I couldn't get into it. And then I'm like, fuck it. I'll start the Today We Learned podcast.
Funny. So good.
So todaywelearnedpodcast@gmail.com.
Well, you know what? Today I learned that I've been spouting lies for 50 episodes.
You guys are killing it.
Yeah.
And then you can also like us on Facebook, Today We Learned with Razzle and Dan.
Mm-hmm. Thank you guys again for all your kind words and stars that you've left us on iTunes. We really appreciate any reviews and good stuff you have to say. Not going to tell you what to do. Live your life, but live it well and live it with us.
And stay awesome. Be safe. And as always,
remember, if you can dream it, you won't remember this in the morning. You were asleep.
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks, safe. Bye.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.